We're doing Hilchos Shabbos, and we're discussing the laws of Oel. One can turn upside down a vessel, even though his intention is to cover something. That's not a problem. That's not a problem of Oel. We say that just turning something over is not considered building a tent. And that's why if, let's say, you have a stroller that fell on its side, I'm allowed to stand it up, even if that stroller has a roof. So technically, when the roof was lying down in one direction, it did not serve as any protection from the rain. And now I hold it up, it's going to protect from the rain or from the sun. So when I move something from side to side, that's not called building. And now, remember, all of building a tent is moving something. Here, the idea is it had its form. It had its. All I'm doing is shifting it from side to side. When you spread out a blanket and make it into a tent, then you're giving it its shape as a tent. Here, I did not give it its shape. I think we discussed that it's okay to spread a tablecloth on a table, even though the. Technically, I'm covering it, but what? It doesn't have a tefach by a tefach, right? And because I have zero intent for what's under the table. I'm not creating anything under the table. I'm putting it for what's on top of the table. Chazal prohibited making an ohel arai, a temporary tent. A temporary tent. So even if I'm going to spread out some kind of tablecloth from the sun or the rain, and I'm going to take it down in an hour, that's still prohibited. We have two types of oil arai. One type of oil arai is one that's used to protect under it. I want to make myself shade or protection. The second type of oil arai is it's not done for the intent of protecting anything under it, but I am doing something in the shape of an ohel. And we'll see that this actually comes up, and we'll describe that. I'm sorry, I know. We're going to see where... I don't know how to make it just that phone calls can come in and out, SMSs. Okay. So let's go one step at a time and we'll see the examples and their applications. Chazal prohibited making a form of tent that will protect from the sun or the rain, or that I'm just going to make a space that I'm going to use down there, even though it's going to be for short term. So, I cannot spread out a tablecloth or some kind of cloth overhead to protect from the sun. I can't even take a carton or boards, even if they aren't muktzah. So let's say in our porch we have a frame, we have a metal frame. I wouldn't be allowed to cover that frame with a cloth in the summer. If I wanted shade, I could not do that. So when we say ohel, we mean overhead, right? We're not talking about mechitza right now. We're talking about if I'm putting over my head a tent, I'm spreading a tent, so that's prohibited. This comes up when kids play. I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, Shabbos morning, we would create tents all over the house. We would take our sheets, and stick them in the bookcase under some books over here, under something over there, stick it into the bed. We would create our whole room. As children, we would create intricate tents with pathways, and technically that's Asur min Rabbanan. So even though it's temporary, it's going to come down, but I'm creating a tent. So I'm creating a temporary tent. Chazal said, don't do that. Chazal said, there's a way in which we're willing to permit it, and that is if you hold the roof and then place the legs under it. So Chazal say, if you're going to make a temporary tent, that's the way to do it. So the Gemara's example is, there's a body lying out in the sun, and you can't move the body is muktzah, so you want to cover it, so the sun shouldn't hit it. So the Gemara says, you need three people. One person will hold the top, which is going to create the shade, and two people will bring the poles or whatever it is that'll hold that top, and then you've done the OL in an unusual way. So then the rabbis, being that the whole prohibition is rabbinic, because this isn't a permanent tent, it's not the oraita, so the rabbi said, if you're going to do it in an unusual way, we're willing to permit it. That's another thing, right? That's another thing. Okay. So if the legs are already spread out, you're not allowed to spread over them a tent. So that's point number one. Kids will build out of Lego. So what happens when they build a house out of Lego, a garage out of Lego? So if it's going to be a tefach by a tefach, and then they're going to stick in their little men into there, and their cars are going to go in and out, so you don't have to run after your kids and see what they're doing on Shabbos. But once they're of chinuch age, once the kid is old enough, 9, 10, 11, so you tell them, we don't do that on Shabbos. So that's our ohel arai. It's a temporary tent, and it's made for some form of protection. I'm creating my own space. So the only way the rabbis would permit that, it's rabbinically prohibited, the rabbi said, if you hold the roof and then put in the supports afterwards, you've done it in an unusual way, that's permissible. And we will get back to that, because we will see that this is relevant. What did we have? My wife told me last Shabbos that the chont or something on the fire seemed like it was starting to burn, like it was too hot. So we needed to raise it for the last hour before the meal. So I said, okay, I'll hold the pot high, and you'll stick in under it the two. We save empty tuna cans, we clean them and we save them, and that way... and I said, that's a fulfillment of the rabbinic thing too. Why? Because I'm holding the roof high and you're putting the legs under it, right? So that's we will see that that's an application of that, that the Gemara says, that if you're going to set up three barrels, two on one side and one over them, so then you could run into this issue. We'll get to that. We'll get back to that. Okay, next is... I'm doing something that's like an ohel, and it looks like an ohel, but I'm not going to use under it. So I'm creating a structure, but I'm not going to use that structure. So in Chazal's time, that would be, I set up two barrels and a third one over it, and I've left a gap underneath. So technically, I could put things in that gap. Practically, I'm probably not going to do it. So if I have one barrel here and one barrel there, or my case of the chulent. So you could say under a tuna can, you don't have a tefach by a tefach. You don't have a problem. It's not really an oil. So I don't remember what was the case. I think the case was that we needed to put three pots, one on top of the other. It wasn't tuna cans. That we needed to... we didn't have enough room on the plata. So we were going to put two pots on the side and a third pot over them. So that's the Gemara's example. If there's enough space underneath... If there's enough of a gap underneath, that's the Gemara's example of you created a form of a tent, even though you're not going to use under it. So it has to be that there are walls on the side. If there are no walls, if I have just poles, and then I'm going to put a board on them, so then most Rishonim hold that's okay. So that comes into play... with many of the tables we use. You're making a simcha. So very often at the event, they're going to tell you, you have these legs, you have two metal frames, you could put them down, and then you put the table, the flat piece of wood on top of them. So technically you created an ohel, And it could be even worse, because sometimes what you do is you spread a tablecloth and you stick in your boxes, your drinks or whatever, under the table. That's where you store it. So, and you're happy that you have that privacy, that no one sees what's under the table, right? It's not nice. So you cover it with the tablecloth. If I'm not doing it for anything underneath, I'm not protecting anything underneath, and those legs are there already before Shabbos, I have no problem. If I don't have walls on the side, we had at our bar mitzvah a month ago, they gave us a table which was basically three walls that opened up. You had the outer wall, and then two side walls, and then you placed the board on top of it. So I said to my wife, we have to set this up before Shabbos. Because they said, this is a wonderful table. The whole idea of this table is that you store things underneath and no one sees it from the outside because it's all closed. So it's like a bar, right? You put food on the table and you have underneath the table, you have everything you need to store. So that's a Noah. I'm building a tent on Shabbos if I do that. So I have to open it before Shabbos and place the table on top. What's going to be if I'm doing it on Shabbos? So then I have to work reverse. I have to hold the table in the air, get two people to hold the table, and then open up the frame that's going to hold it. You guys with me? Yes? Because I'm technically getting an OL in then. Where else does this come up? There are Seder plates, which people have. Some people have Seder plates where you have the upper plate and you put on it all the different things, the karpas and the mar and the charos and the chazeret. And underneath, it's built like a frame. And underneath, you have another plate. And on that plate, you leave your matzahs. So it's basically a lower plate. It has like four poles. And then on top you have an upper plate. And then you're on the upper plate you're going to put your all the foods you're eating on the Seder. And on the lower plate you're going to put the matzah. So building such a thing on Pesach comes in. If you want to build that, you run into the problem that you're building a form of an OL and you're going to use that tefach by tefach, and usually you have a tefach by tefach underneath on that lower plate. So we're careful to build that before Yom Tov. We don't do that on Yom Tov itself. One could argue that ordinarily those Seder plates, I grew up with one that had cloth all around it. You had one window through which you could put in the matzahs and take them out. But the rest of my father has such a Seder plate. And you have the lower plate, you have the upper plate, and then you have cloths going all around. It's really closed. So that's really an OL. What happens if you don't have? Many people don't have the cloths. What they have is just four poles. So then what you've created is a roof, and you don't have walls. So there we run into a machlokes, where the Rashba says it's still not allowed to do on Yom Tov or Shabbos, and that's why ideally we do this before Yom Tov. To my mind, you run into another problem, that most people don't take it apart so fast. It stays together until after Pesach. So then it's not even an Ohel Arai. Then you're building an Ohel Keva. You're building something that's going to remain here for 7 days. Yeah. So folding tables is okay, because that's like the kisei treskel. That's like the chair which opens and closes. It's got, that's what we discussed a week or two ago, that it has, what's it called? Joints? Not joints. Hinges, right? So because it has hinges, so it's arai, and it's not made for what's under it, and it has hinges, so it's no different than the roof of... that's when the legs are connected to it. It has hinges. Our issue was when the legs are not connected to it. Meaning otherwise opening a fold-up chair would also be a problem. That's Kisetra scale in the Gemara. They're folding chair. But you're saying, no, it has hinges. This is what it's made for. I'm not using the airspace that's under it. It's just a question of opening and closing the hinge. It's no different than the roof that opens and closes. It's no different than the door that opens and closes, and we don't say you're creating a mechitza when you close the door. So the folding table also has hinges. Our issue happens when I don't have hinges, where I'm going to bring two legs and put a plot on top. I'm going to put a slab of wood on top. That's where I run into the question, am I creating an ohel, being that it's an OLRI? So we say, here you run into the question of the Rashba or not. According to the Rashba, better not do it on Shabbos, or if you're going to do it, so hold the board and then put the legs under it. But most opinions don't go with the Rashba, and that's why today people do it. People at holes do it. They say, I don't have any walls here, I just have the top, and it's an OLRI. So that's why we're lenient with that. Because it basically has legs, it doesn't have walls on both sides. Again, the table they gave us at the event a month ago had walls on three sides. There you run into a real problem, according to all opinions, because there you are creating an oil. You're creating an OLRI. Again, had three legs, three walls, and on that went the board. And you used the space underneath. Now, just as I'm allowed to build a table that has two legs on two sides and a board on top, by the same token, I'm allowed to take it apart on Shabbos, right? Whatever is mutal midin oel is also mutal midin soter oel, right? I'm prohibited from building a tent on Shabbat. I'm prohibited from taking it apart. If this doesn't constitute a tent, so I'm allowed to build it on Shabbos, then I'm also allowed to take it apart on Shabbos. Yeah? Okay.